Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Friday, February 6th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Oh, it's just another one of those days in the market, and certainly they can do anything they want to do at this point in time, but we had a little bit of pressure on gold today. We have gold down in the aftermarket New York spot price, $28.80 at 12:36. Got to get a new pen here. 12:36. We have silver down 52 at 16.80. We have platinum down 29 bucks at 12.26, and we have palladium down 7 at 7.88. We have, naturally, if we see those large increases in or the large decreases in gold, you're going to see a big increase in the index, which we have 1.12. I saw it as high as 1.20 today, so a big move, one-day move. I mean, things just normally don't happen to that degree in markets, but you do here in the U.S. of A markets. 94.66 for the USDX. Crude oil today was up 1.5 at 51.99. And the paper markets today, we're looking at, it looks like the Dow is coming in at 60 points to the downside at 17,824. You have the NASDAQ down 20 at 4744. And the S&P was also down 7 points at 2,055. 10-year yield was up 0.12 at 1.94%. Euro, oh, that took a big dip, of course. We also expected that with the dollar strength. That was down 1.36 at 1.13. So, big drop in the euro today, and
yeah.
And we did have the.
You haven't had your coffee, have
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I had a little bit of it, but
You didn't have enough, though.
They did come out with the jobs report today. It showed that the U.S. employers added 257,000 jobs in January, and wages jumped up by the most in 6 years. Evidence that, hey, that job market is closer to full health. Well, maybe I'd like to, for them to describe health. And the gain was far better, of course, than the 230,000 jobs economists had expected. Adding to the strong report, there were revisions that showed hiring was far stronger in November and December than previously estimated. Of course. And it doesn't really match up with the retail numbers and everything else, but hey, hiring was good anyway. Right, Al?
I think so.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I think a lot of people have been calling in to make job offers to me, Melody. I have opportunities to work 6 different jobs now.
Oh, well, that's just part of it.
I would be able to take advantage of them, of course, but...
Okay.
But
so that way we're at
that contributes to the
just thinking about it. And yeah, absolutely. So, that's,
you know, you're on that. You're talking about the unemployment rate. And here's an article in the Fiscal Times printed on Yahoo, republished on Yahoo. And the headline is the unemployment rate of 5.7%. Just a big lie.
Of course it is.
Well, this is interesting, though, because John Williams at ShadowStats.com has been arguing that the real unemployment rate is over 20%, and that argument has been there for a number of years. When he calculates the unemployment rates and the inflation rates and whatever other, he uses the same formula that we were using 15, 20 years ago in this country.
Mm-hmm.
The governments have changed the formula since then, and the new and improved formulas generate more positive results. But he's saying, here's the real deal, and he goes back and he says, according to his calculations, unemployment is running in excess of 20%. All right? And when you count the people who don't have jobs, and the government says, well, if they're not looking for jobs anymore, we don't count them as unemployed. Well, yeah, after you can't find one for a couple of years, a lot of people just tend to sit back and light up a joint and watch TV. That's what's happening, at least in a lot of instances. Now, Williams has his position, and I'm inclined to agree with it, but I don't know that he's right. All right? But he has a credible position, and what's interesting to me is that here we have a mainstream news outlet, the Fiscal Times, more or less mainstream, and they're coming up and they're saying, is the unemployment rate of 5.7% just a big lie? The idea that John Williams has been trying to promote for several years now is finally getting in front of the public in the mainstream news media. And they're beginning to wonder, gee, maybe the unemployment rate is not just 5.7%. Well, that strikes me as interesting. It strikes me as news. It strikes me as a sign that we're moving closer to some kind of reality where the public and even the mainstream news is not necessarily buying the government's, you know, lies. They're saying, hey, wait a minute, maybe there's another side to this. Maybe the numbers we get from the Obama administration, it's hard to believe, I know, but maybe they're not true. So changes are afoot. They haven't come to the conclusion that it is just a big lie, but they are beginning to consider that possibility. And for me, it's cause for celebration because I just can't wrap my mind around the idea that this economy is going to somehow succeed if we could only tell better lies. What this country needs is newer, better lies. The kind of bull manure that everybody will automatically believe, and that's the search that's going on in the Obama administration. They're not looking for solutions to problems. They're looking for better lies in order to convince people that there is no problem. That's the solution to the problem. Conceal the problem with deceptive lies. Oh, so we're seeing some progress. I can't believe that's going to work for long. I could be wrong, you know, but I have to imagine, I just have to believe that we're going to have to go back and face the truth if we actually want to solve our problems. So?
Well, absolutely. Do you know the pathetic part of this whole deal, when you do have truth that is produced by a mainstream, I'm assuming it's somewhat respected and mainstream, maybe not 100%, but it's there. It's certainly not CNN, ABC, and so forth. However, You would think, and you just mentioned Obama, but you would think that the other politicians would say, hey, look at this report.
Yeah.
And let's get to the truth. Let's get to the bottom. Let's really find out how many people are not employed in this country. But where are they? There isn't one of them that has a backbone in Washington or in any of these departments where it could so easily. And look, well, I mean, if these people are running for an election in 2 years.
No, they're running right now.
Well, I mean, for the election, too. Well, it would be the prime time to pick it up and say, hey, let's get these Democrats out of there. But it just goes to show how they are controlled.
Yeah, they have a one-party system up there where virtually everyone who gets into office is obligated to support the party line. And it's not the Republican Party line or the Democrat Party line. It's the government party line, and they are both contributing to that. And I can't remember the name of the Oregon congressman. He was there, was elected to his first term of office kind of on a fluke, and he did what he thought was right for the people, and he was trying to tell the truth. And his own party, if I recall correctly, it was the Republican Party, they worked against him to see that he was defeated in the next election. If you're not going to play ball, you're not going to play. That's the implication of this. And if you're smart and ambitious, you get into Congress. Well, if you want to stick around, you better not try telling the truth.
Well, folks can flood the offices with these reports. Folks could flood these offices with phone calls and say, we want you to address these numbers.
Yeah, but here's the problem they've got. You know, it's a little bit like that old saying that goes back hundreds of years. What webs we do conceive when first we practice to deceive. Something along those lines. Oh, what tangled webs we weave when first we practice to deceive. And what it means, you start telling lies and the lies start growing. It's like fractional reserve banking, you understand? You start with a little lie, a $1 bill, and with fractional reserve banking, you can move that up to $10 or $20 or $50. All right? You have a tangled web once you start to deceive, once you start to lie. How do they explain? How does a congressman or a senator or a president come up and say, oh, you'll never believe this, but, you know, we've been telling you the unemployment rate was 5.5, 5.7.
It's really 20.
It's really 20%.
Well, at least they could just
explain that discrepancy.
Well, at least you can gradually.
Nobody said anything about it over the past several years. They can't deal with this without admitting that every congressman and senator up there in the cat house on the Potomac is corrupt. Why didn't anybody tell the truth? Look, if they come up and say, listen, oh, gee, we made a mistake. It's not 5.7%. It's 7.7%. Okay, we can go along with that. But if it's 27%, So they're caught in their lies.
Well, they're, you're right. They are caught in their lies. But
I don't know. And so are we, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We're caught in them, too, not quite in the same way, but
they're the spiders who weave the web, and we're the ones that get caught in it.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it comes down to. And it's not just the government's fault. We get caught in that web of lies because many of us like to hear the lies. Not too many of us really want to face the truth because the implications are often unpleasant. And explain it however you will, the American people are a ready audience for lies.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a fact.
True.
Right? I can remember when Bush ran against Dukakis back in, I don't remember, what, the 1980s? I don't recall. But Bush promised to read my lips, no new taxes. He was lying, and we elected him. Dukakis, he came out, and he told the truth. He said, we're going to have to raise taxes, and we threw him out. We're not going to let We're not going to let that little Greek tell us the truth. We're Americans. We don't have to listen to the truth. All right? And shortly thereafter, Bush said, I've rethought it, and now we will have to raise taxes. So we refused to elect the guy who was telling us the truth. We did elect the guy who was telling us the lies that served our, you know, that pleased us. So what do you do? You have to change. You want to change this country, folks, you actually have to change yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about changing the people in Congress or, you know, in the Senate or in the White House. That's part of it, but that's not the deal. First order of business, you've got to change yourself, and you've got to become something like a lover of truth. And that's hard to imagine, and it sounds, you know, a little bit, I don't know, exaggerated. It's the sort of thing you can be skeptical of. But just the same, I'm making a point here. You've got to move to where you appreciate the truth. You don't allow it to offend you. You don't allow it to scare you. You have to understand the first step in solving any problem is an accurate diagnosis. If somebody's got a tumor in their brain, you've got to diagnose where it is. You can't go in there and just start chopping around until you find something that looks suspicious. You've got to figure out where is that tumor. It's the same thing in medicine. It's the same thing in economics. You've got to accurately identify the problem before you can solve the problem. And that accurate diagnosis always requires you got to be honest. Somebody's got a brain tumor and you're alleging that they've got bunions, we're not going to solve the problem. We can pretend the problem isn't there and say, oh, that's just a bad case of bunions. No, it's not. We got brain cancer going on here, and someone needs to diagnose the problem in order to solve it. And you can't diagnose the problem with lies. And we're going to learn that lesson. We're going to either learn it voluntarily, or we are going to learn it painfully. But we're going to have to start diagnosing our problems honestly. And if we do that, we can force the government to do much the same. And if we're not going to do it ourselves, government's going to keep on lying. And inevitably, there's going to be a moment when the truth busts loose, and when it does, we're all going to fall down, go boom. Right, we're going to have a problem. So, oh my gosh, what's this? It's not 5.7%, it's 20%. Oh my gosh. You know, information's been there for a long time. It really isn't news. The news would be if people started to relish the truth. That would be news. I mean, that would shake the whole system up. Say, oh, my God, the American people are beginning to want the truth. What will we do? I mean, can you imagine a greater threat to the existing political system? People insist on hearing the truth. There's no telling where it could end, Melody.
What an idea.
This is so simple. No, forget about that, folks. There's no telling what would happen to the system if the American people demanded the truth. It would be,
well, we know that's not going to happen.
Not anytime soon.
Not anytime soon.
For those of you who are capable of doing so, those of you that are capable of diagnosing the truth, facing the truth, you know, looking at it, you're the ones that die.
The truth is.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hey folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Oh, I just want to remind the listeners it's a great time to be buying gold and silver. We are running a little bit of a special today. We have Swiss francs. We have a 120 franc Swiss gold Helvetia. They're one of the most popular European gold coins, and they're very beautiful coins in brilliant uncirculated conditions. They're attractive. It's very high quality coins. It's great for investment and it's great for barter. And you can pick some of those up today for $275. Just give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And we have an unlimited supply of the Helvetius, the Swiss gold 20 franc for $275. Give us a call. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And to make this a little bit of a special, if you will include shipping with all your coins, you can buy one, we'll include shipping. Buy two, we'll include shipping. So we'll include shipping in that price of $275.
All right, Maldi, what is our next point of discussion?
Well, you like Greece.
Don't like Greece just yet.
Not
Let's
yet?
Let's do Brian Williams, just because we're talking about lies in the first segment of the program. And here's one. Here's headline from the Washington Times. Brian Williams' lie takes social media by storm. Most of you should be familiar with the idea that the NBC host of the nightly news, Brian Williams, he's being slammed on Twitter. Oh, my gosh, being attacked on Twitter. You know, that just sounds so stupid. You know, I was assaulted on Twitter. You know, this is like claiming that, I don't know, somebody gave me a pinch. You know, let's call the cops, call the FBI. Maybe it is serious, but he's been slammed on Twitter for his false claim that the helicopter he rode in Iraq in 2003 came under heavy fire. In a recent broadcast, Mr. Williams admitted that he made a mistake in recalling the events of 12 years ago. I do that a lot, Melody. You know, I sometimes tell people that, gee, I was being shot at in the car I was driving in 12 years ago, or, oh, no, maybe I wasn't being shot. No, that's not true. How do you make a mistake about whether or not someone was shooting at you and actually hit your helicopter? He claims it was hit by an RPG, a rocket-propelled grenade. All right, that's according to the Los Angeles Times. This is the kind of thing that you remember. If you're riding in a helicopter and it fell out of the sky, you remember, all right? And if it didn't fall out of the sky, how can you remember it? You know, it's just nonsense.
He's been saying this story for 13 years. So it's not like he's recalling a story and making, exaggerating it. He's told this lie from day one back in 2000, whatever year it was.
Now, misremembering, as our former president G.W. Bush would say. In any case, Williams apologized and admitted, no, we never came under direct enemy fire to the aircraft. But social media has reacted brutally. Now, I'm not here to defend Brian Williams. I'm not here to defend the mainstream news, NBC, any of the rest of them. It's probably several years since I've even seen Mr. Williams on television. So I'm not here to defend him. Nevertheless, it strikes me as interesting that the world is ready to condemn Brian Williams for telling one lie. And yet we don't seem to be the least bit offended by the habitual lies of President Obama or most of the Congress or most of the Senate. Could it be that we have a higher standard for journalists than we do for politicians? Do we trust journalists but don't trust any politicians? Do we expect journalists to tell the truth, but we expect politicians to lie? Is that what's going on? If so, then if a journalist lies once, he betrays our trust. We trust journalists, and we catch them in a lie. That's it. They lied to us. But if a president lies, he doesn't betray us because we haven't trusted him for years, if ever. You know, we complain, oh, the government's lying. Oh, big news, big deal, big news. You know, who cares? Of course they're lying. You know? But if a journalist lies, oh, my gosh. Is that why Obama is not held to the same standard as Brian Williams? Just because we don't trust the politicians, but we do trust the journalists? Do you think that makes any sense, Melody, or is that just wishful thinking?
Well, I think the whole thing is really idiotic. I mean, you know, why don't they just fire the guy? But then again, I've heard, oh, well, we don't want to destroy his career for making one little lie. Just move on. For 12 years he's been lying, and there comes into questions that he's possibly have done other lies, like saving a little puppy from a burning fire or something like that. I don't know. But it's just another distraction that, as far as I'm concerned, is meaningless. If the station that he works for, fire him. Be done with it.
Hey, pretty much.
But they're going to drag this out for weeks, months, maybe. I doubt if it'll be months, but it's like, let's get to the real news. Let's see what's really going on. And this is a great little distraction. What, you don't think that they didn't know about his lying prior to this? Funny how it was released the same day that Obama made his little statements in the prayer meeting. But what are they talking about? Obama's statements from the prayer meeting or Brian Williams? Most of it's been focused on Brian Williams because we don't want to talk about, you know, the stupid things that Obama says at the prayer meeting. So
I understand, but he's going to have to be fired, I think, because if he doesn't, there's going to be jokes about, what is it, NBC? Is that his boss?
I don't know which one it is.
I don't either, but I think it's NBC. There's going to be jokes about the news network for lies you can depend on. I mean, there will be jokes like that that will hound them for years. Unless somebody steps up and says, that's it, we cannot be having liars.
He's been doing it for how long?
I know, and how long is everybody else?
Why did they wait so long for this to come out? They were, like, saving it. You know, maybe he didn't play somebody's game or something. Who knows? But, you know, my question is, why did they release it now? Everybody knew. His bosses supposedly knew. A lot of people knew that he was lying.
Well, that's because they're liars, too. They respect that. You know, it's that old joke, Andy Rooney. No, not Andy Rooney, but I can't remember who it was.
I liked Andy Rooney.
Any case, there was a joke, guy talking about being an agent in Hollywood, and he says the key to this job is sincerity. And once you learn how to fake that, you got it made. That just cracks me up. That particular joke amuses me because it's so typical of what's going on. We're talking about Brian Williams. Why don't they care if he's a liar? Because he appears to be sincere. It's not a question whether he is sincere. Yeah. Not a question whether he is honest. The question, does he seem sincere to the audience?
Mm-hmm.
And if he does, then let's keep him up there. We don't care whether he's a liar or not. It doesn't matter.
Well, he made a mistake.
But if he only made the mistake one time 12 years ago, that would be one thing. All right? We could shrug our shoulders, but he's made the mistake repeatedly, which means he lies repeatedly, same as our president does.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow we live in a world where lying has become a survival skill. Your prosperity can depend on your ability to lie better than the other liars that are out there. And when that happens, how can this society hold together? There's got to be some sort of a restoration, a resurrection of an inclination to tell the truth. Nobody's doing that. We're absorbing the lies and betting that somehow if we tell the lies, if we all agree to tell and believe the same lies, we can prosper. And I'm inclined to say, nope, that ain't true. It might work for a while, but it's got to end badly. And again, this business with Brian Williams, it's the idea that, oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. He tells the first lie, and now he's caught. He's committed. He's got to keep telling that lie, point one, or admit that he lied in the first place. Point two, all of the executives, NBC, if I understand correctly, they understood he was lying. What are they going to say now? They're part of the tangled web. They're caught in it. They can't, we knew he was lying, but, you know, he's such a likable guy. We thought, what the heck? What difference does it make? They can't admit that they were caught up in this without also saying, we're a bunch of liars. So what are you going to do with it? Just ignore it and move on to the next story, I guess. I'm not sure, but I think in the end they're going to have to make an example of Brian and show him the door. That's my guess. I'm not sure how soon they're going to do that, but my guess is they'll probably have to do that, even though they don't want to. Even though the executives at NBC, they don't care whether he lies or doesn't lie, but they can't say that to the public, so they're going to have, so Brian, we like you, but sorry, you got to go, kid. Who are they going to? I think the only thing that's holding him up there right now is who's going to replace him. Or are they going to find someone else? Because they're going to have to vet. They're going to have to really dig into the next guy or girl who becomes anchorman for NBC Nightly News to make sure they don't have any lies on their resume and they don't have any lies in their past history. Because it's not going to do to replace one liar with another liar. So it's going to be a while. We're looking for now, we're like Diogenes. We're looking for an honest man. Anybody know where we can find an honest man to be the NBC Nightly News anchorman? Get your candle, get your lantern, start looking, folks. We're going to have some sort of a contest. First one who can find an honest man to be the anchor man for NBC wins, who knows, $1 million and a new Cadillac or something. I don't know. What do you think, Boldy?
Well, it's probably a little more easier to find an honest man than it is to find an honest journalist. So.
Well, it may be true.
Yes.
It may be true. But we at least think of journalists as being honest, or at least we like to.
It's probably easier to find an honest journalist than it is to find an honest politician.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So,
all right,
in case they've got a problem. All right, now we can talk a little bit about Greece. We'll talk. Here's one article from Bloomberg. Greece loses ECB funds, that's the European Central Bank, of course, raises pressure on Tsipras, that's the new Greek prime minister. There's the headline. Greece has lost a critical source of funding after the European Central Bank restricted loans to its financial system. That's to Greece's financial system. Unless the European Union 115B cap limit on short-term borrowing set by Greece's creditors is raised, the Greek government may run out of cash by the end of this month. That's the problem. All right? Greece doesn't have any money. Greece is not illiquid. Greece is bankrupt. They're down to, according to one report, they've got $2 billion. Left, or 2 billion euros, one or the other, probably 2 billion euros. They have that left, and they'll probably exhaust that perhaps as early as the 1st of March. Now, some people sit back and say, well, all right, so the government is broke. You know, it's a problem. Yeah, we get that, but what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is that Greece has a large amount of bonds that are coming due. A bunch of them are coming due today. We've got another report that'll outline that a little more clearly. They've got a bunch of bonds that are coming due today. There'll be a bunch more that are coming due in a couple of weeks and so on into the future. And if the Greek government is bankrupt and doesn't get any money from the European Union or somebody, then they can't make good on their bonds. And if they default on their bonds, we're looking at, you know, the domino effect is here, folks. And we can only wonder, if Greece defaults on its bonds, how far are those dominoes going to click, click, click? All right? Is Greece going to default on its bond and one domino tips over and it causes one other domino tip over and that's as far as it goes? Or does the one tipping domino cause a dozen or 50 or 100 more dominoes to fall? That's what we're waiting to see here. But the big deal is Greece going to run out of cash by the end of this month, according to this report. I've seen others that they say they'll be out of cash in March. Hard to say, but we're close. We are within 30 days of Greece, left to its own devices, won't be able to continue to function. It's going to have to just, the world is going to have to admit, yeah, Greece is broke. And then what? On the face of it, doesn't sound like much, but those Greek bonds are being used as collateral for loans in other parts of the world, particularly in the European Union. And if those Greek bonds default, the collateral disappears, they have to call back a bunch of loans that are multiples of however much the Greek bonds are worth. In fact, thanks to fractional reserve banking, which, you know, as occurred earlier in the program, occurred to me for the first time, that fractional reserve banking, it's just a classic example of the complex web we weave when first we practice to deceive. They're deceiving you by telling those little pieces of paper are money. And one thing leads to another, and now we're sitting at the edge of a collapse. We accepted the lies, and now the truth is coming back. Maybe in the next month, maybe in the next year, maybe in the next 5 years. Don't know. Truth is coming back, and a lot of people won't like it at all. I'm Alfred Adask. I'm here at the Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom, and we'll be back in a moment. Let's see some here, some more commercials. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Melody, would you like me to continue beating the Greek issue to death, or do you have another subject you'd like?
Well, actually, what I'd like to say about Greece, they are having a meeting next week. They confirmed it today that the finance ministers of the Eurogroup are to hold a special meeting next Wednesday. And, of course, they're going to discuss Greece's debts. And that's a day ahead of a summit of the European Union leaders. So it'll be interesting to see what happens next week. Greek shares went down today. Actually, the Athens stock fell about 3%. So,
all things considered, that's not enormous.
No,
in my opinion.
Well, they've already been hit.
They do it again and again and again and again. But all by 3% in one day. All right, not good, but you know, not enormous. But what we're looking at is Greece and the European Central Bank, and to some degree, Greece and Germany are in this game of chicken. And we have a few weeks before Greece doesn't have any money to pay off on its bonds. And if somebody doesn't give them some money, and that's all it is, just make a gift of it, because you're not going to get paid back. If somebody doesn't give them some money, those bonds are going to default. And if they do, the problem, you know, domino effect again, could have catastrophic effects on the European Union. It could spread through the financial system. And on the other hand, if they do give Greece some more money, then the rest of them that are also in debt, they're going to say, well, what about us? How about some free money for us? And they are caught between the rock and the hard place. And we have Germany as being intransigent. The European Central Bank is being intransigent. They say, you Greeks got to pay that debt, even though everybody pretty much knows and agrees that the Greeks can't pay the debt. And the Greeks are the ones that are trying to be honest here, where the new prime minister and the new president are saying, we're bankrupt. You can't get euros out of a stone. You understand? And the European Central Bank and Germany is saying, we don't care. We don't care if you're bankrupt. You still got to pay the debts. And
There's an article. There's a stretch down here. Let me see if I can find it. I won't be able. I've got so much here on the Greece thing. I probably won't be able to pick this up. Here it is. Under the austerity conditions imposed by the European bureaucrats upon the Greek nations, suicides have risen by 35%. Unemployment is nearly 30% overall, nearly 60% for those under the age of 25, having doubled from 2010 levels, while wages have fallen by nearly 40%. There's no question that the Greeks are, you know, they have been disabled by their debt problem. It may be that the Greeks are responsible for the debt problem. I'm not going to argue that they're not. But that being said, you know, how long can you keep beating on these people? There is, when you deal with people who have an addiction, there are people around them that are termed psychiatrists, psychologists, they term them enablers. One way or the other, they make sure that the alcoholic has something to drink. They make sure that the crack addict has some drugs to take. These are enablers. They might not be using the drugs themselves, but still they help the people that are addicted to get that. These enablers, I don't care whether they have good intentions or bad intentions. They're doing bad things by enabling people to continue in their addiction. You can say something like that about the people that loaned all this money to Greece in the first place. Has Greece been irresponsible taking this money and say, let the good times roll, party on, dudes? Yes, they have. They've been irresponsible. But, you know, there's a point where you can also sit back and say, you know, you bankers should have brains enough to know that Greece couldn't deal with all of this cash and that you couldn't get your money back. You know, if you want to lend all of your money to an alcoholic, or you want to lend all your money to a crack addict, and then later on say, I'm shocked, I tell you, the crack addict is not paying back the money I loaned him or her. Well, come on. There's a point here where the lenders are, to some degree, responsible for being dumb enough to lend all this money to Greece. And regardless, my point is, regardless of who we decide is to blame or is mostly to blame, there's plenty of blame to go around here, and the fact remains, Greece can't pay. But the two sides, Greece says we're not going to pay, and the European Central Bank and Germany say you are going to pay. You know, it's rock and hard place. It's the irresistible force and the immovable object. Somebody's going to have to bend on this, or we're going to see some very interesting things happen over the course of the next, you know, weeks or months. Greece can't pay the debt. What's going to happen if Greece runs out of money, the Greek government runs out of money? What happens, Melody? Does that mean Greece will collapse into chaos? And it could. They've got enough pensions that they owe to people, Greek citizens and wherever, could go that way. Or will Greece find a way to get by without fiat currencies? You know, if Greece can get by, if they can survive this situation, and I know it's going to be a bumpy ride for sure, but if Greece just goes through it and says, that's it, forget it, we're not paying a nickel on those debts, we're defaulting on all of the debts, we're leaving the European Union, and we're going to try to make it on our own. Well, it's going to be difficult and challenging, but what if they do make it on their own? What if the Greeks are capable of holding their society together with something like barter? What if it turns out that Greeks are able to prove you don't really need that fiat currency? What's that going to do for the central banks of the world? If we begin to see evidence, wait a second. The Greeks are no longer in debt. It took them a year or two, kind of like Iceland, and they began to make a strong recovery. And they did it without bankers, the world's central bankers supporting them. Is this possible?
There's a lot at stake here in this drama where we see unfolding between Greece and the European Union. A lot of implications and a lot of important people or a lot of important institutions stand to lose a great deal. You know, and it's not going, Greece will not be the only loser in this situation. And in the end, the truth appears to be that Greece can't pay the debt. Well, if it can't pay the debt, then it won't pay the debt. One way or another. We can paper it over and try to pretend and push it down the road, kick the can down the road a little further and pretend this is all going to work out just fine over the 3 years from now. But the truth is, Greece can't pay the debt. And if that's the truth, the Greek bonds are probably worthless. And those people who've invested in those bonds are going to probably lose their assets. And the consequences of losing those assets are going to impact people across the European Union. How badly, I don't know. We'll watch and see. But the truth is they don't have the money to pay. And somebody's going to have to deal with that truth before long. Greece for sure, but Germany, they're going to have to admit, well, these people, we loan money to somebody who doesn't have the money to pay, don't have the resources. We've loaned at a European Central Bank, same thing. So there's going to be, you know, again, this is like, you know, we wonder if there's going to be a black swan event that's going to trigger something that takes down the entire global economy. People speculate, is the black swan, are the black swans coming to get us? Should be a horror movie or something, that the attack of the black swans, Melody. Is it going to happen? This might be it.
I do believe there will be an event, and, you know, the big question is it this? And, you know, the question is the big threat not paying the debt, or as you mentioned, is the threat disrupting their currency flow, interfering with their fiat currency?
Yeah, I know.
And look what we've done to various countries who try to disconnect from
the
dollar.
That's with our money, and we'll bomb them.
And look at all this disruption. Yeah. Look at all the disruption in the Middle East. And mainly, you could probably, if you followed the money, it would probably come down to the fiat dollars and the petrodollars. So which is the threat here?
Yeah, it's not just a simple threat of Greece isn't going to pay its bills. All right? That's a big threat. But there's an additional potential threat where, if Greece can get through this without just completely, you know, degenerating into chaos, mass murder and whatever, if Greece can get through this, a lot of people are going to start wondering, what do we need these central banks for? What do we need that fiat currency for? Maybe there's another way to live in this world without having to do everything through banking.
Well, I don't think Greece will be the one to, you know, show that can be done. However, again, you know, as you see, you certainly can make it a little more aware, and to see if the powers to be, the elite, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, will allow it, and what they will do to keep them from doing that.
Yeah, I know. But what can they do other than simply pay Greece's bills? And how are they going to pay them? By spinning more currency out of thin air.
Mm-hmm.
More fiat currency to pay off, to maintain the illusion that Greece is paying its bills. It clearly can't pay its bills. And we have bankruptcy courts in this country to deal with. If you're bankrupt, fine. There's no point to beating that dead horse any further. You're out of money, fine. Let's give the guy a break, file for bankruptcy, write off your debts, start your life. I'm sorry about you people who gave this guy some money. He didn't have the resources to pay you back. Too bad for you, but let's move on. Same thing could be true for Greece as a nation. People could just sit back and, well, yeah, they're broke. You know, what are you going to do? got to just accept it, go along with it, write it off. I got an article here from Reuters, and it's actually Reuters videos, so there's only a brief two-sentence description. But the headline is, the world is in debt, not just Greece. There were numerous promises to tackle debt after the global financial crisis in 2007, but 8 years on, consultancy McKinsey and Company says the world's debt mountain is now almost $200 trillion, up by $57 trillion. And this is Christy Vassy reports, and this is a video. Well, first of all, they're saying the world's debt mountain is now almost $200 trillion. This is news from Reuters. The truth of the matter is, the Congressional Budget Office has said the United States government, including unfunded liabilities. The Congressional Budget Office has admitted the total debt, including unfunded liabilities, is over $200 trillion. And here we have Reuters reporting that the total world, it says the world's debt mountain is now almost $200 trillion. No, that ain't even close. If it was only $200 trillion for the whole world, we could handle it. I don't even know what the world's total debt is, but it's probably a couple of quadrillion. Huh? So here we have Reuters saying, oh my gosh, we have $200 trillion in debt. You know, they're on the right track. The debt is much bigger than the world is likely to be able to handle. But $200 trillion is not, that's not an earth-shattering quantity of debt. Quadrillion dollars. Yeah, that probably is. $2 quadrillion. Yeah, that is. $200 trillion. Not a big deal, folks, but the point is, Greece is in debt. The world's in debt. It's not impossible that Greece could precipitate a global reset. We may see governments around the world canceling their debt, just because Greece may precipitate that before we're done. We'll watch and see. We're out of time. I'm Alfred Adask here at Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back on Monday. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.